Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding-edge, successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's Rockstar Achiever.
It is with great pleasure to introduce today's Rockstar Achiever, Brett Dupree, who is a professional speaker, author, and life coach. For most of Brett's life, he lived in fear, and as a person who had been dedicating himself to not getting hurt, he seemed like the last person to ever write a book. However, he had many goals and aspirations in life that would never happen because he was too scared of the embarrassment of not just failure, but also the attention that comes from success. At the age of 26, he discovered the key to self-joy and has since been crafting a life that he never imagined possible. As Brett has learned how to pull himself out of the depths of despair, he has gained an understanding of how to help other people to stop living from fear and start living through their passions. So welcome, Brett. We are very grateful to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. You know, there is so much in that little bit that I just shared about you that just makes me think, who is this Brett person and what is his story? What are these fears that you lived in, and how did you overcome those?
The main fear I had was just basic, run-of-the-mill social anxiety. I had extreme social anxiety to the point where just being out in public would just bring so many just negative thoughts in my head of being constantly judged. Be like, everybody in the world is paying attention to me, and no matter what I did, I was wrong.
Oh, wow. So you lived in this fear that you're always wrong and everybody's always prejudging you.
Yeah. No matter what I was doing, I was being judged by every little thing. I remember once in high school having almost like panic attacks of having like sneezing into a handkerchief and not thinking to myself, or into Kleenex, thinking to myself, what is more embarrassing, to leave the Kleenex on my desk or to actually get up and throw it away? And just having that thought process going through my head of which one would be more just full of judgment and hate. And pretty much every part of my life was like that, just a constant fear that no one really likes me, that no matter what I do, I am wrong. No matter what I do, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, was there something in your life that when you were young that created this fear that led you to feeling that there was always something wrong with you or that everyone was always judging you?
It was something that kind of accumulated over time. I started off as a very happy child, and then I went through abandonment through my mom. I was like a mother's boy. Mm-hmm. And so when she did that to me, I just felt like I couldn't trust anyone and that I had to shut down all my emotions so I would never feel pain again.
Mm-hmm. I see. And our experiences, especially when we're young, can have such an impact on us. And unfortunately, that impact often, in your situation, it sounds like it was very, very serious and very tragic. And it can, what I find happens is that we create these stories around what happened, why they happened, and then create this logic, although it's not even logical, in how we act and react and behave. And so I'm wondering, as you have gone through your life and you have learned how to overcome that, well, first of all, let's talk about that. How has that process been for you? How did you overcome those fears?
Well, a lot of it is recognizing that my thoughts aren't real, because a lot of times Basically, I would create thoughts to protect me. I didn't want to feel pain from getting other people, so being around people would cause pain. So I create negative thoughts of judgment so that I didn't feel close enough to, so they could not hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest process of, like, my book is setting intentions and running through those intentions, recognizing that thoughts are just thoughts. And it's the energy to the thoughts that we want are the ones that will manifest in our reality. For instance, the brain thinks. That's its job. Its job is to create thought. And it is the thoughts that we want are what we need to pay attention to and thus give our emotional energy towards.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come about discovering this?
A lot of research. Mm-hmm. I turned 26 was my inciting incident. I was closer to 30 than I was 20, which makes a lot of sense when you're 26, mm-hmm. less sense when you're 40. But I was looking at my life, and I decided that I needed to change. And so I just dove into personal development and read anything I can to try to change my life, learning with Law of Attraction, the work by Byron Katie, EFT, neuro-linguistic programming, doing Joe Dispenza's meditations, basically trying to find anything to help me not believe in my thought and create a mindset that allows me to move towards my desires and my dreams instead of pushing me away from them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what would you say has been the most profound piece of that learning?
Well, my most profound piece is my thoughts aren't real.
Oh.
They're not tangible. They're just things that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to choose which thoughts that I want to have and which thoughts make sense. And the fact that there isn't an end goal, if you will. The idea, especially one thing that I've learned during my quest for self-development, is this idea that I had to let go of, that there's going to be a done and over, a one day I'm finally going to be this thing, and then all of a sudden all my problems will go away. And that's not the case. What personal development does, such as my book and other books, what they do is they allow you the tools. So next time I feel that abandonment, I have something to work for. I have something to work on. And I know what tools I have in my tool belt to pull out to push me through this next time it comes up.
Mm-hmm. And as you've been making these changes in your life and discovering these realizations, what are some of the things that you have done that you're extremely proud of? Some things that you never thought before that you would do?
Well, for one, I never thought I'd write a book. I'm putting it out there. Getting out in front of crowds is something I never thought I would do. To want to speak in front of people, public speaking used to be one of my biggest fears.
Sorry, I was just going to interject there, as is the for most of society.
Yes. Jerry Seinfeld's that famous joke, public speaking is a bigger fear than death. That means the person giving the usual eulogy would rather be in the box.
Mm-hmm.
That old joke. But yeah, it's a huge fear. And I, especially with extreme social anxiety, get in front of people and talking was something I never thought I would do, let alone enjoy it. I love getting in front of people. I love talking to people. I love the connection with the audience. It's something that now is fun, which is something I never thought I would ever say.
Uh-huh, absolutely. And speaking of getting out in front of people and speaking, you have now taken that passion, and I understand that you've been involved in Toastmasters for quite some time. You've received several awards, and also you recently began your own chapter. Is that not correct?
That is correct. I've been a Toastmaster now for 8 years. I joined to help get me to craft my message and to feel comfortable to speak in front of people. And now it's something that I love because I get to give back. I love personal development. I love watching growth. And in Toastmasters, I'm able to see people grow. And one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had in my life was starting the Lightworkers Toastmasters. It's been super fun. We are about 4 months old as a club, and so we're still in our infancy. And it's been wonderful watching it grow and working on creating a culture so that it will be a club for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Why, you said that the Toastmasters group that you started has been the most rewarding thing that you've done. What is it about that that you find most rewarding?
Well, it was a decently big undertaking to take on to create a Toastmaster club, especially based off a community club, which is generally hard to create unless you have 20 or so people who are willing to commit right away. And I started with nothing. And to create a club out of nothing was super fun, but also not only a club like the one I started, the Lightworkers, a club full of people who want to make an impact on this world, people who want to make positive change, people who want to take not only their lives to the next level, but to help the community at large. It has just been rewarding watching them grow, watching them get more comfortable using their voice, watching them improve, as well as just the leadership experience that I've gained from creating my own club and stepping out there and pushing myself to create a situation where 20 or so people are dependent on me to get this ball rolling and to make sure this club is a success.
Mm-hmm. And what to you creates that success, or how would you define the success that you hope to see out of this club?
What makes a successful club, or
for your particular club? What would success be for you in regards to Lightworkers Toastmasters?
Well, success for me would be a club that exists when I leave. Mm-hmm. If I ever leave the club, it could survive without me, and that feeling that everything's not dependent on me, which is, I don't have that yet because we're still young and still trying to work out all the kinks and figure out what the culture and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So something that can survive without me is what I'm working on now. It's in the process of working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because we just got our officers in. We're just on our second meeting with our officers. We're just starting to get people trained. We're still new, and there's still a lot of work done. I mean, getting the charter was super fun, of getting our 20th member and having everything. But that's just the start of a process of creating a club of people trying to make a great change in this world, but that also can adhere to the rules and the procedures of Toastmasters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And doing something like that is always a huge undertaking, and that's very remarkable that you've done that. And you've done that not from the space of somebody who's always had this intention of this is what you want to do, but you went from your social anxiety, not just fear of speaking in front of people, but also in general being around people, to now being in front of people all the time, putting yourself out there and starting this new club. So I want to acknowledge you how amazing that is.
Thank you. I can honestly say I would never thought I would start my own club of public speaking. And it's a lot of energy to, especially at the beginning of getting a bunch of people, and most of them are just nervous and not knowing exactly what Toastmasters is. And to be able to go from that to where we are now, where a lot of people who aren't Toastmasters participate, and we're getting people speaking and to getting the ball rolling, has just been, it's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of fun doing that. Every time I go to one of these meetings, I just leave feeling energized and really happy about life and the way things are going, because it's just a great group of people. And to be able to serve that kind of people as well, the people who want to make change, the people who want to make this world a better place, and knowing that I am helping people who are helping people. I mean, that's one way to create great change in this world, is to help the helpers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then, basically the idea of Joyous Expansion in a nutshell.
Uh-huh. So tell us about Joyous Expansion.
Joyous Expansion is an idea where if I increased my joy and my life, I increased the joy of and the lives of the people around me, thus increasing the joy of the people around them, thus increasing the joy around them, thus increasing joy around them, just creating like a joyous expansion across the globe. That's been one of the most satisfying parts about my personal change, is as I went through it, I could see how my change of perspective has helped the people around me, has changed some people in my family, has changed some people, my friends, who've also seen them change their friends as well. And so to be able to push this out to more people, how, because that's when we are at our best as humanity, is we are at our best when we are serving each other. That's why we are able to span this globe, because we're able to work together and to create better things. And so to change our perspective so that we truly embrace it, especially towards this very interesting time where we're about to become redundant, we need to come together. And so my desire to be a part of that is just been, is the whole part of joyous expansion.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and that sounds like a global movement that you've started here.
I would hope so someday.
Mm-hmm. Little by little, right?
Little by little. If we keep on spreading, one day we'll hit that tipping point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm a full believer in that. And going more into, you've got your Toastmasters group, you've got this movement that you've created, these different things that you're working on, that are progressing. You have your book that you've written, and I would like to go ahead and have you share a little bit more about your book.
Mm-hmm. My book, Joyous Expansion, is based off, number one, it's based on my story, how I started from a person who wasn't happy, who's just suffered from social anxiety, and became happy through the power of intention. Basically, Joyous Expansion is three steps: intention, action, celebration. And when you set your intention, you want to write it down, because that's just, it's almost like casting a spell, is when you write down what you want. Most people in life, and I've talked to clients and many people, and they all have the same issue, is they focus on what they don't want. I'm sure you've had that conversation where you ask somebody, what do you want in your life? And they say, well, I don't want to be fat anymore. I don't want to be poor. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And when you focus on what you don't want, that's what you tend to bring up in your life, because your mind doesn't necessarily understand the word not. It just really understands positive words. And so you need to focus on what you want and what you desire. And so you want to write down your intention, your spell, to a point where when you read that, it just fills this spark in you, and you just feel this giggle, like, yes, that is what I want. That is what I exactly want. And then, of course, you want to take those inspired actions. You want to do the actions based off your intentions, based off your desires. And you want to put your emotions behind it, because when your emotions and your desires are aligned, you can move mountains. And then, of course, you want to celebrate, because celebration is important. I've, of course, talked to many people, and it's like, now that you reach this goal, what's next? Well, I go to another goal. No, take a moment and embrace the fact that you accomplished something. Because life without intention is directionless, without direction.
Mm-hmm.
Intention without action is just a dream, but action without celebration, it just becomes a burden. So you want to do all three. You want to focus on what you want, do the actions it takes to get there, and celebrate the fact that you've done it. And that's the basis of my books, is living in a way of being intentional, being action-oriented, and celebrating your existence upon this planet.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was beautiful. And I love what you said about action without celebration is a burden.
Yeah, that's how you burn yourself out. Is you don't take a time, just don't, you need to take those moments in life. When you celebrate the little things, life is one big celebration. And you need to spend a moment almost every day and look back of what you accomplished. Because it's easy to not only, they say the joy is in the journey because that's where the growth is, but you need to take time and celebrate those little steps. Because then you're just pushing, and you're just pushing, you're just pushing, you're just pushing. And when you get there, it's almost like an empty feeling because what is it all for?
Mm-hmm.
If you take that moment to celebrate, if you take that moment to acknowledge what you've done and give yourself credit, you can enjoy it. I mean, I've met so many people who have worked, who have accomplished and are doing great, but they never feel like they can enjoy themselves. Because they don't take time to acknowledge how well they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrating.
Right. And so many people, along that line, so many people don't even see how great they are and the amazing things that they're doing.
Yeah. That happens when you're trying to continually whip yourself into shape and talk bad about yourself so you can keep on going. And all those things. But no, you can experience life through joy. There's that old saying, no pain, no gain. Well, the thing is you can also gain through joy and through success and look at from your successes and what you've done right in the world and learn from it. I mean, yes, you want to learn from your mistakes, and that's great because yeah, when you make mistakes, you learn. But at the same time, when you're successful, learn from your success so you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And take some moments to celebrate that success and enjoy the fact that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even NFL football teams, when they win, they at least allow that Sunday for the rest of the day to be a celebration and enjoy the victory. And then, of course, Monday, it's back to work. But you need that moment of victory, or it's just no longer a game. It's no longer fun. And life should be fun, especially if you're living your life and pushing toward your dreams and pushing towards what you truly want in your life. It should be a good time. If you're living your dreams, if you're living the life that you know you're meant to live, make sure you're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not enjoying it, then how do you ever know that that is the life that you're meant to live?
Exactly.
Well, that sounds like a really amazing book, and I myself can't wait to get a copy. And I would love for you to go ahead and share, Brett, how can we get a copy of your book, Joyous Expansion?
The best place to get a copy that would be autographed by me is from book.joyousexpansion.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's one you can buy directly from me. You can also get it on Amazon and wherever books are sold online.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Great. Thank you, Brett. I hope that many people are out there buying that book because we definitely need more joy in our world and we definitely need to see that just spread out worldwide. So thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for taking the steps to break out of the fears that you had in your life, to overcome those fears and to live your passion and create a way for others to live their passion as well.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.